Author of the Week, featuring another great creator of narratives for the human race on Southside Broadcasting and Siren Radio.
Well, it's the third time that we featured our next guest, of course, our inspirational author. But this time we're focusing very much on her writing. We've heard, obviously, some of her fantastic music. We might indeed even squeeze in a little bit of I Burn before the end of the actual interview and so on. But she's based in California, of course. She is committed to a whole range of wonderful activities and adventures, including planting trees, you may recall, which we'll find out more about as we head through the piece. But basically, we're about to launch into courage, finding our fire, igniting our life by welcoming back to the Author of the Week feature, singer-songwriter, Glenda Benavides. How are you, Glenda?
Good. Good morning on Mike's side.
Of course, exactly. It's all, everything's temporarily relative in all sorts of ways. And of course, we spoke last in September of this year. Of course, having made your debut in 2022 with the whole piece. And if memory serves, Glenda, we had a fairly solid discussion about boiled peanuts and indeed sweet tea and nutritional supplemental value, etc. And I think if I recall, you were also about to, or you were planning a retreat towards the end of the year. And you had been thinking about Greece, but the forest fires had taken that out of commission. So what's been going on in the Benavides world?
Well, yeah, we had discussed going to Greece, but I think we're gonna wait on that. So, and 2024, we'll do the retreat more towards the fall. So that's progressing. Yeah, that's pretty much what's happening. Just waiting for Grammys. It's coming in February. So, yeah, excited about that and. Just recording new music, getting ready for another show, and that's kind of what's been on deck as of late.
So life continues ever onwards. But you've released, of course, or re-released, I should say, this wonderful text called "Courage, Find Your Fire, and Ignite Action in Your Life." So, would you like to share with us, Glenda, the kind of backstory of this and how, if you own what are truly your feelings, if you speak up and speak out with passion and fervor and love who you are, then literally the world could be your oyster.
Yes. Well, just a little background on that. Yeah, I originally started in my kitchen. I had a few friends over and a girlfriend was there and she turned to me and she said, "You're a real badass goddess." And I was like, "What?" And I think the first thing for me was I wanted to immediately push back, like, "Oh no, I'm not that." Like, I didn't really want to accept, you know, that marker on some level, you know, and I stopped myself and I said, "Don't do that. That was her compliment to you. That's how she's seeing you. That's her experience. So don't deny the experience." I think a lot of times we do that. People want to give us a compliment or they say what they enjoy about us. So in that moment, I kind of stepped back and I said, "Okay, well, thank you." And then I went on a little journey to figure out what does badass goddess mean to me? And it wasn't about being mean, aggressive, being, you know, your typical superwoman, you know, box that people think or whatever. And so I started to redefine it and I turned it into an acronym and defined each letter. So that's what happened with that. And then that kind of led me to, well, what value do I have? And what is that elicited that comment from her? And so I went on that journey and I said, you know what, I'm going to do an outline of like what it took me to have the courage, have the confidence, you know, have a commitment. Like, what are those things? And what I came up with was 5 C's. Clarity, got to have that first. Then you take the courage, eventually you get the confidence. And then once you have confidence, you can really step into commitment because at that point you know what you're wanting and then you can create community. So that's kind of where I came with the book coming off of Badass Goddess. And yeah, and I just wanted to tell my story and share that, and then also share a little bit of how I got there by giving people an opportunity to have options to step into their courage, commitment, community, and that type of thing. So little, it's kind of like a little workbook. So,
well, it certainly works and opens up a whole range of questions, which I know Anna's going to be following through. I've got to ask, Glenda, have you ever been to Bucharest?
I have not. I have not, but I've wanted to, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, there we are. I mean, I'm sure with lots of reasons in terms of why you should visit Bucharest, just as Jessica Burtis actually gave you lots of reasons to visit North Carolina. We have Anna Koskinol. Anna, any questions or initial observations for Glenda, given that you're a postgraduate business student at the University of Lincoln?
Hi. Yes, of course, I have questions, as usual. Firstly, I would like to say that what your friend said about badass goddess, 100% true. People cannot see this whole Zoom meeting, but you look amazing. So I agree with her. One question I have is, you are talking about confidence and courage. Do you have something or an advice for people to build confidence right before going to speak in front of other people or going on stage?
Yeah, I do. And that's funny because that's some of the things that we work on in one of my programs. So yes, first of all, I would say the bottom line is you just got to do it. Like, no matter how scared you are, you know, and be prepared, just be prepared for whatever the situation is, and then step forward and just do it and be willing to make the mistake. And also to know they don't know that you're making a mistake. Your audience, they won't know unless you let them know. I had a situation once. I was on stage and we had a whole dance routine, and I had dancers with me, and I was doing hip hop at the time, and I did this move where you do a scoop with your foot, and we were on a wooden floor, and it was really slick, and I did this scoop and I lost my balance and I hit the stage floor so loud it went boom, and the audience just turned went like this. They were like, what the? And I turned lemons into lemonade, and what I did is I rolled and I did a spin, and then I jumped back up like I was like, that's really what I was doing, you know. It was, I didn't go, oh my God, and then just get embarrassed and leave the stage and, you know, that kind of thing, which I felt like it inside. So you have to kind of do the opposite of what you think inside, because other people don't know that you're not feeling confident. So, you know, that fake it till you make it kind of thing really does work.
Yeah, sounds like really good advice. And I've heard people saying that, it's true, people do not know you don't have your confidence, so you just gotta fake it. And basically it all resumes to you being able, if you make a mistake, to move past it. So this is how you build your confidence for future outgoings.
Absolutely. You just gotta keep going and learning and expressing. And I think that's been a key factor, is really having that clarity of who you are, and then stepping out there and express yourself, and allow whatever else to show up, you know, and then you learn from that, and then you build. So, excuse me.
Glenda, last time you spoke to us, you mentioned something which we followed up, actually. I was very keen to actually take it a couple of stages further. And it actually has as a strapline, an enchanting medicine show weaving music, mysticism and magic into an otherworldly experience akin to a murder mystery. I'm, of course, referring to the Spiritualist Cabaret running since 2021. Would you like to tell us how you got involved with the Spiritualist Cabaret and what exactly it is, apart from a realm of manic mysticism, arts and entertainment?
Well, kind of crazy. So, I have some really, really good friends that are amazing artists, and I don't even know how it started, but I just had this idea. It's like, why don't we do something together? Which is unusual because you know, if you have a group of musicians, you maybe put a band together, right? But this was a visual artist. He works in the medium of charcoal, so he draws, right? And then I have my music partner slash audio engineer, mastering engineer, and he does want these wonderful dark soundscapes, like it's like very cinematic, right? So he does that. And then another good friend that's a magician, and he's an illusionist, and he is so good, and he goes under the moker Faust. So I don't know, just we just all came together and said, what would that look like if we had a cabaret, if we had a show? So we take themes. So this coming Saturday, which is going to be December 9th, which is Krampus Nacht, so we are going to have Krampus Christmas. And if for those of you that don't know who Krampus is, most Europeans do, but Krampus is kind of the spirit, the dark spirit of Santa. So if you've been a bad child, he will either beat you with a switch or steal you and eat you. So anyway, so we put that together, and then again, the theme is Krampus, because it's the holiday season. And it's just fun. We just do an hour show, and everyone uses their talent. And we every time we're very creative on how we do that, how we show that. So hopefully that explained it a little bit better.
I have to ask the question, Anna. I mean, we know about obviously Romania, Transylvania vampires, and so on, but do you have any challenges with Krampus as well over there?
We do not so often, but there are certain parts of Romania that do have it. We also have it's been 6th of December, and you know how here is Elf on a Shelf. We have something similar, but it's instead of Santa Claus, we have Saint Nicholas, that he comes in the evening of the 5th of December to the 6th, and he leaves like sweets to kids and sweets and usually vegetables and stuff like this. And if you have been a bad boy, it leaves a little like let's call it a stick instead of something sweet to you. It's so nice.
Yes, it's
And
very
probably
fun.
will be a bad boy because girls are never bad. We know this. It's just a port fraud. Okay. I mean, Faust, you mentioned the masterful musician. You've got D.S. Thornburg, a visionary visual artist. But of course, from your own point of view, you have the persona of Madame Glenda, the spellcaster, weaving
Yes.
enchantments and unveiling secrets hidden in the arcane arts. So was this something that, again, I mean, we followed a whole range of your musical delights, obviously, Glenda, but is this something you kind of always wanted to channel and kind of engage with?
You know, I ended up getting that marker from other people. My friends call me a kitchen witch because I love to I make my own face cream, I make my own, perfumes and things like that, and I cook, and everybody loves it, and it's very yummy and magical, they tell me. So, I think we just decided to take on that persona. I work with tarot. So, things like that. So anyway, it was just fun, and we just thought, oh, I'll just be this, this spell caster, and I'll cast spells.
So you
So
weren't channeling a sort of fondness for Samantha and Bewitched from back in the day, then?
oh no, I loved Bewitched, but no, but yes, I love her. No channeling that.
Okay, let's move back to again the focus of courage and the line with respect to that. I mean, over the last few decades, there've been lots and lots of inspirational writings, lots of lines to actually assist people on this journey we call life. Do you feel as though the message is getting through? Do you still feel as though, in a world in which we have so many different communication formats, so many different social channels, and so on, that actually there's so much noise out there, sometimes
Agreed.
it's really difficult to actually make some kind of impression. I mean, I know we spoke about this with respect to the music industry back in September. So is it the same with respect to writing and getting the authorial message out there?
You know, I think so. I was thinking the same thing, Alex. I was thinking there's so much noise out there. There's so many more people. There's so many more people thinking, I'm an author, you know, I'm this, I'm that, you know. And on one level, I really feel like it's valid. Definitely. Everybody has a journey. Everybody's on one. And their story is unique to them and their experience and what they're creating. So my belief really is that once you align with your higher purpose, let's say, you know, you really intrinsically are an author, or you really intrinsically are a singer or a marathon runner or whatever, you do what you do because you're passionate about it and you're following that path. You're excited about the journey. You're evolving inside of that. And once you're doing that, excuse me, Once you're doing that, things do just come to you. They really will, because you like attracts like, right? So I think people, you end up finding your audience, you know, so to speak. If it's 10, it's 10. If it's 20,000, it's 20,000. You're speaking into the environment of the age or your message, you know? And so I would just say, get out of your head, get in your heart, keep going towards your passion and don't think about it. Just, you know, talk to people like you, Alex or Anna. And then once, you know, you're inspired, you're going to go, hey, I just talked to this girl, you know, Glenda, and she's doing da 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 da. And Anna goes, yeah, I talked to her on our show. And next thing is, oh, I'm curious. Cause how many times have we all sat back and went, wow, that was really a great conversation, or wow, that information is really spot on. And then you follow that, right? You go buy the book, or you know what I mean? And then you tell your friend, and I really think that's the way it happens. And then you find your core people that need your message, you know, and we got to get out of like, it's numbers game, you know, like I understand it's like you want to make a living at it, but you really need to stay on the path of like, this is really what I have to share, you know, and then allow your goals to unfold and obtain them, you know. But that's where I've come to.
and maybe that's not such a new concept either, because the world is full of artists whose real value was only recognized when they passed and transcended to another dimension. It's the whole classic line of the penniless artist in the garret in Paris or in London or in New York, effectively right. Looking to produce their stuff, etc. So challenging times, but then as we are in essence spiritual beings on a human journey, we've got to enjoy the ride. Anna, back to you.
I was actually thinking, Alex, since we are talking about dimensions and tarot cards and energy, it reminds me of the show from 2 weeks ago, and I can't help but have a question. Did it ever happen to you during one of your concerts to have a crowd that you feel like is draining the energy out of you? Not in a good way, like, oh, I'm so tired because I performed and the crowd was ecstatic and everything. No, but a crowd that made you literally never want to come back on stage and just stay in your bed and
exhausted. I mean, I think that to set the scene, Glenda, this was with another wonderful American writer who was putting together a whole package, and Anna's question was referring to energy vampires and whether they were actually a thing, etc. And the response was, well, we're all energy vampires. We all kind of take energy from other people at different areas, etc. And I think we're just looking for, wait, what's your response on that one, or your take on that?
Yes. Yes to all of it. you know, I had an experience. It's called being conscious, I think. I did have an experience once. I was up in Alaska, in Fairbanks, Alaska, and we were playing this really big venue. And it was like 80 below. It was like really intense. And I remember getting out of the van and going into the club. And as I walked, I was fine. I was ready to perform, you know. So, and by the time I went from the door to the back of the stage to backstage, I was angry as all get out. And I went, why am I so angrily violent? And I thought, that's just weird. And it was so different and so shocking for me that I had a mentor, and I called her and said, what's wrong? You know, why was I so angry? And she's like, well, you're an empath, you know, and you just sucked everybody's energy as you were walking through the room. And it was, and I was mindless about it, and I was, you know, transferring it into myself. So, you know, as far as taking energy, like I was taking their energy negatively, and I just had to realize that I needed to be more conscious and more mindful and do whatever process that I think I want to do. So white light, you know, surround myself, just be really clear about what I'm doing. And as far as an audience taking from me and feeling drained, no, I don't think so. I really, for me, I feel like I have been, this is my service. So I'm well rooted, well grounded in that. And so the energy that comes out from me, they can take it. They're allowed to take it. What I don't do is after the show, I don't allow them to suck anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? That's when I have, okay, this is
boundaries, boundaries.
Boundaries, absolutely. And I take my time, and unless I have energy, unless I want to. So, you know, I can cycle it, and that's fine. So yeah, I boundaries. I guess that's the best way to say it, you know.
I feel like it's so interesting having different perspectives from both people that work with lots of other people, and to see that some other people are able to create those boundaries for themselves and are able to give without feeling, as I said, drained and exhausted. And what you were saying about empathic people, I think it's true, because I also think like empathic people usually are really self-aware, and sometimes it may be harder for them to have boundaries because they are aware of their downsides and they want to give more so they can make it up for the downsides. So they don't know when to stop giving, and yes, they don't know when to stop taking the bad and trying to make it better. So yeah, what you said, I think it's really good having boundaries.
Yeah, no, and you're right on with that, Anna, because what happens is that, because if you're not aware of that and you allow yourself to just be taken from, yeah, you'll crash really hard. Like you'll just not feel good, you know? So, and I've had that more with personal friendships, not so much an audience. So yeah, those were lessons. All right. So
we are going to be featuring I Burn, but I want to actually just dial back to a track we haven't featured as yet on any of your appearances so far, Glenda, and that's License to Love. Because initially I thought, oh, License to Kill. This is a few years ago, but any kind of lines in terms of, is it all to do with permission, having a license to love? Any particular rationale when you actually produce this?
to be who we are. Together it was written in the stars. In the stars. We can't deny the feelings.
Yeah, I actually wrote it because it doesn't matter who you love. Like, you know, it, coming from a more of a perspective of just love, you know, male, male, female, female, you know, transgender, what doesn't matter. It's like you love who you love and it's your license to love. You know, giving licensing, meaning giving them permission, you know, to just love whoever you want. And I thought, God, I have a huge community of a variety of people since, you know, I was a child. So, you know, to me, you know, gay, lesbian, transgender, that's been in my life forever. So to me, that's just normal. And I thought, well, that's just normal. Like you should just love who you want to love, you know? And so that's really where I was coming from when I wrote it. And then I shot most of my friends and stuff together, you know. So loving each other.
It's well worth reminding people that if they haven't checked out your YouTube channels yet, there are lots of very interesting videos and very positive aspects that come across with respect to that. You're listening to Siren Radio. It's Author of the Week of the Midweek Driver course, morning edition. We are actually in California time in the morning, but obviously Anna Koskinen is with us, and we're focusing on Glenda Benavides. Anna, back to yourself.
Back to myself. My question would be, I saw that you're saying that for all music purchase, you plant a tree. Can you say more about this? Because I think it's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I felt like it was my way of helping others and myself to actually be in action, which is one of the words in the title of my book. And I thought, well, you better live it, right? So I thought, why don't I share my music, my book, my merchandise, all of it, and then just inspire people to like, hey, if you buy my mug or if you buy my t-shirt or whatever, my song, whatever, my book, you know, I can see who buys it. And then what I do is I go, okay, that's one more person. And then I plant a tree. And what I do is I go on One Tree Planted. I'm affiliate with them and I plant. And so right now we've got 250 trees planted. I've got probably 50 in Scotland because Lord knows they need it. And then I planted Canada and I planted here in California. So that's where I'm at. So with the trees, and I love it. It's really great. It's like, it's such a win-win for everybody. You know, it's like, hey, I bought a mug, but you know what? I planted a tree. So.
And in terms of the future, always difficult to predict because there's people who actually say that the future is now and basically we're living the future and all things happen simultaneously. But then again, that's another line for another debate. you mentioned obviously a retreat lined up for 2024. We seem to have actually sort of emerged relatively unscathed from the COVID pandemic period. Who knows what other pandemics we might be manifesting for ourselves, of course. I've heard about a 100-day cough that's currently sort of percolating through Britain at present. But any sort of plans or strategies you're looking to put together for 2024, Glenda?
Yeah, I was going to have an April here in Napa Sonoma area, the wine country here in Northern California. And I think I'm going to take a break because I'm actually going to go to the UK. I will be in London at that time and then head up to Scotland. So I think we'll probably push that out till like maybe September or something like that. And I might rework it, but it was called Own the Goddess Within and Soul on Fire. So we'll revisit that at this point.
And of course, if you're in London and you're heading north, you only have to travel 126 miles north before you actually come to Lincoln, England, which, of course, was the original capital of the country when the Romans were here and they had Lindum FM or Lindum sort of aspects from that. So you really should drop by Lincoln as well to see Lincoln, okay. England, as opposed to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, that's funny. Lincoln, Nebraska. That's okay. We don't want to go there. Well, yeah, that sounds interesting. I'm definitely, as my friends call me, a Anglophile. So it's probably from my Italian Scottish English background. So
although you're missing some Romanian in that. Glenda, have you got any questions you want to put to Anna about her experiences as obviously a student, a postgraduate student from Romania, doing her postgraduate work at the University of Lincoln?
Yeah. In Nebraska? No. London. Okay. God, Lord in heaven. What for your future, what would you like to step into as a global badass goddess? What's next for you?
Well, right now I'm doing economics, but since coming here, I realized this is not what I want to do long term. So since starting working with Alex and seeing what he does all day, I was actually thinking of maybe applying to some radio stations in the UK and see what is going on and if I can catch something, or if not, as at the moment, I'm applying also to graduate schemes for marketing. Every single UK student knows what I'm going through with the graduate jobs and the whole applying charade.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So you're passionate about interviewing people and
yeah, I realized it's really nice. I always liked, when I was little, I was acting in plays, and I've done that for quite a while. But after that, I don't know, I've changed and my perception has changed, and I find it more interesting to be able to engage people without them seeing your face necessarily, mm-hmm. or seeing your body movements, because it means you're only doing it with your voice.
Yeah.
And I do believe it's more interesting than only doing it in front of a TV or in front of a camera. So yeah, I find this actually quite interesting. And I remember I told Alex, even from like our first meeting, because I listened to almost all of his podcasts on that certain topic we had, so yeah. I can be prepared. And I was like, I can't believe your voice. It's really good. And it's in reality, when you're talking to people face to face, you sound one way. And then when you're on the radio, you not totally different, but it's like a special voice. It does have those fluctuations and whatever you're doing with your voice. And I find that really interesting.
It could just be artificial intelligence, Anna, that sort of ChatGPT. It's just the algorithms that work through. I'll ask Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. They use it all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to go on X. And yeah, when I'm applying for graduate jobs there, I'm going to ask him personally.
So, Glenda, it's been awesome connecting with your good self again. We didn't really get into the boiled peanut or indeed sweet tea debate, which we had last time around. I think Jessica's still actually sort of percolating that one through. But it has opened up a whole range of things. How can people actually get hold of Courage by your good self? Find your fire and ignite action in your life. Of course, Courage by Glenda Benavides.
Yeah, you can Amazon, just Google it, you know, the title or my first name, Glenda Benavides, second name. Or you can go to my website. It's on there too, and it'll take you right to basically Amazon. So it's great. Yeah, Glenda, you can go to glendabenavides.com or glendamusic.com, whatever's easiest. Sometimes I know it's hard. It's the long, you know, last names can be challenging for some people.
It's the way of the universe in so many ways. Left you, little lion, who knows where it's going, but still. So two little questions to wrap up with then, before we actually go into your wonderful work, I Burn. Firstly, I think you know them by now, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the program today?
I have. You guys are always great. Like, you have great questions, and it's just been, you know, a pleasure, especially at 8:30 in the morning for me. Thank you, Alex.
Well, we might sort of nudge that around. I think Mickey actually tends to think, oh, well, you know, obviously you're East Coast, but maybe he's confused. It's the Canadian enemy thinks. It's, you know, East Coast, West Coast.
No, I'm West Coast. I was like, what time? 4:30 UK time. I'm like, okay, that's 8:30. I usually get up about now, but so I'm glad I can use my words properly.
And it's even more confusing when you actually realize that the listener might be listening to this on a Thursday morning at somewhere around about 9 o'clock. But what the hell, 9:30. Time, it's just an illusion, as we've said. So allowing for the fact that time is just an illusion, can we prevail upon you to return? Will you come back sometime in 2024 and share with us more of your music and philosophies?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I love you guys. And you do a really amazing service, you know, by asking really good questions, and you do so. And it's lovely to meet your co-host Anna this time. So
it was really lovely meeting you as well.
Thank you.
So Glenda, your last task then, would you like to introduce yourself singing I Burn?
Okay. I'm Glenda Benavides, and this is I Burn.
My mind is back to spool time. Touched your skin and felt your fire inside. Fire inside. I long to feel your embrace, your hair, your smell that leaves a trace of fire. Fire burns inside, no matter how I try, I burn. And all I see is ashes, but inside, inside I burn. A rainbow down on a cold dark day, that fire inside you kept the cold at bay. Thoughts that burn in my mind, how I miss those eyes so filled with fire. Fire inside. Still that fire burns inside, no matter how I try. Worn, I swore, you burn my love alive.
are the trends in terms of Christmas buying trends? Where should we be going as we head into the festive season over the next few weeks? Well, we've got not one, but two fabulous folk to actually share their views on some research that's been carried out, and also maybe the difference between the generations in terms of their choice of whether to leave the present in the box or re-gift or other such items. First of all, we've got ClearPay's in-house fashion and beauty psychologist, Shakayla Forbes-Bell. How are you, Shakayla?
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Excellent. And we've also got interior specialist and Christmas expert. That's Pandora Maxton. How are you, Pandora?
I'm good. How are you? And thank you so much for having us on your show.
Well, thank you, Pandora, because we're coming to you first initially as an expert on Christmas. Does this mean that you are the person that Father Christmas or Mother Christmas goes to actually say, all right, how are we going to deal with this, Pandora? What's your strategy?
Make it really special, I think, is key. And it doesn't necessarily have to cost a fortune. ClearPay have a buy now, pay later, where you can just spread the cost over, you know, make it more accessible, make Christmas special. I absolutely go for it for Christmas. I like making it big with presents, food, decorations I've saved over the years, I reuse. And I just think it's such a special time of the year that you just have to really make it special.
So no pressure there then, Pandora, which is good from that point of view. Okay, let's turn to Shakayla if we can, because obviously with respect to this research from ClearPay, were you surprised by any of the findings? I mean, in terms of the phenomenon of re-gifting, for instance, which you could say is the ultimate in sustainability, surely?
Yeah, I definitely think regifting has become a thing, especially with younger generations who are trying to be more sustainable. One thing I did find interesting, actually, with this ClearPay research is that over a third of Brits actually won't be dressing up this Christmas. And as someone that just loves to get the glitz and glam ready for Christmas, I'm quite surprised by that. But if you're looking at the data, you know, sequins and, you know, those glitter outfits, they're not doing as well as those velvet blazers. That's an increase on 160%. Year on year. The velvet pants, silk dresses, those are up over 200% year on year. So I think people really are looking at more comfort, luxury comfort, in terms of the way that they're styling themselves this season.
The ever or seemingly never ending debate about is the tree going to be artificial or real seems to have been firmly settled in favour of the artificial tree. I see that more than 2/3 of us are actually going for the artificial tree as opposed to a real one. Again, is this just a case of wanting more sustainability, or is it all those pine needles that tend to emerge even in September?
I just think it's a mixture of both. Like you say, 2/3 prefer artificial. I'm a convert. I've always used a real tree. And then just through work, I've started to use artificial. They're clean, it's cost effective, and it's easy. You can bring it out year on year, and that's at an expense you don't need to worry about. So it does make a lot of sense.
Pandora, fascinated to see that festive pyjamas are very much a fashion trend this year. 50% increase in sales of festive pyjamas. Were you surprised at that, or is it a case of, well, I mean, you know, is it the end of the onesie as opposed to the pyjama?
I know I've had to ditch my onesie, which I'm slightly gutted about, but it's just coming together. It's something that you can do as a family Christmas Eve, although we start it really early. I give my festive pyjamas out at the beginning of December, but it's just making Christmas special. And it's just those little rituals that just, you know, bring the family together. And it's just a nice tradition just to uphold.
So, Shakayla, you've already shared with us your kind of, you know, commitments to the whole design sort of areas from that point of view. But, you know, if we were to actually ask, clearly it's a holiday season. There are lots of other things from that point of view. The notion about people putting more thought into gifts for their pets than their partners, does that say something about the R factor, or is it just a case of, well, you know, ultimately, pets give us unconditional love, which sometimes we can't always guarantee from our partners?
I definitely think that has something to do with it. I think as well, on the flip side, it is a bit more about practicality. I think Brits are trying to be really strategic with the way that they're spending their money this season, how they're gifting their loved ones. You know what to get for your partner. You can ask them if they loved it last year. Fair enough. It's very practical. You can use ClearPay. You can get it in advance, spread the cost. Like, it's simple. But your pets, you don't know what they want. I think they, you have to maybe mix it up a bit more with them. It's something that is, yeah, it's a bit more sweet, and you know that whatever you give them, they're going to love. They're not going to talk back or give a bit of a sigh like a partner or a daughter or something, someone like that would. So I think it's a bit more about the practicality element.
Yeah, and intriguing that some people actually buy their partners the same gift year after year, which again, I suppose, kind of gets a repetition basically. Pandora, in terms of the notion of the gift itself, where do you stand on gift vouchers? Or is that a case of, well, that's the last resort of the Christmas Scrooge slash humbug? Don't use gift vouchers. Or would you say go for them?
You know what? I'm going to say go for them. And I can't believe I'm saying that, but I have teenage children now, and they like to go and spend and buy their own gifts, and then you know you're going to get it right. So I think vouchers are a fantastic gift, especially for a certain age group. You know, my children certainly love them.
Well, that makes sense. Shakayla, where can people actually find out more detail about the ClearPay research and so on?
Definitely. You can head over to clearpay.co.uk on the website, and you'll find all of this information and more, and get some inspiration about what to get your loved ones this festive season.
And Pandora, can people follow you on the various social media, or is it a case of, no, I don't do Instagram or indeed TikTok or X?
I do Instagram. That is really what my focus is. So, yes, you can follow me at Pandora, at pandora.maxton.
Fantastic. Pandora Maxton, interior specialist and Christmas expert. And Shakayla Forbeswell, ClearPay's in-house fashion and beauty psychologist. Huge thanks, and happy holidays, folks.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you so much. Happy Christmas.
Skiing. Well, certainly it's something which is growing ever more popular. And if we look at the East Midlands, we find that there are a whole range of people, almost a fifth of folk, who actually love to go skiing. Obviously not in our recent slush-based conditions. But what about sustainable skiing? Well, we're delighted to welcome back to the Midweek Drive former GP Olympic skier and indeed BBC Ski Sunday presenter extraordinaire, Shemi Alcott. How are you, Shemi?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I did see some videos. I get sent some because on Ski Sunday, we have a ski social bit. So as soon as anyone's skiing, I get sent all these videos, and it all goes like North England skiing, ripping it down the slope. So there has been some.
That's true, but not down a steep hill. I'm just saying it would be dangerous and a health and safety issue there.
No,
certainly,
no, no, of course not. Not promoting that.
Onwards. Yeah, I mean, maybe sometime, but you need to obviously wire off the streets, do all sorts of things there. Let's talk the Austrian National Tourist Office and sustainable skiing. How have you got involved with respect to this, and how can we learn from Austria in terms of how our skiing experiences can be both enjoyable and sustainable?
Well, I've been very passionate about protecting our winters. I've become an ambassador for the charity Protect Our Winters. I've done my carbon literacy training for the last few years because I've seen firsthand the impact of climate change on the mountains, on the sport that I love. And obviously, we're not just talking about skiing and snowboarding here. We're talking about the global effects of the snow melt from the mountains causing our oceans to increase. And I think that what's great for me to see, and that the Austrian Tourist Board have found, is that people care about this. 80% of people factor in sustainability considerations when they're booking their ski and snowboard holiday. So what Austria is trying to do is the regions within Austria that are doing it so well, they're celebrating them. They're celebrating how they're using their renewable energy resources, how they're using their snowmaking, how they're piecing their slopes, the hoteliers that are making the right choices and promoting those so that others can follow. And that's what it needs to be. We need to collectively come together to show that we can keep doing the sport that we love without impacting long-term the mountains that are so hospitable to us.
And it's no surprise then that 80% of British winter sports fans said that they factored in sustainability considerations when choosing their travel destinations. Let's talk families, because obviously you have children, Shemi, and other skiers who have children. 2 in 5 want their children to learn how to ski, with nearly 2/3 thinking they should learn before the age of 10. Now, I'm still in the camp of, yeah, I still haven't skied yet. And Lord, will I ever? I don't know. Probably not. But still, Shemi, in terms of this research by the Austrian National Tourist Office, do you think that actually skiing is good, both for mental health, for keeping active, and so on?
I mean, it's incredible in terms of what it does to your mental health. I'm a very happy person. I really do have a lot of gratitude towards the mountains for that, because you get this huge amount of escapism. This, you know, the mountains aren't just fantasy. You can actually be amongst them and be belittled by these huge, vast scenic panoramas. And not only do you get that sense of freedom and tranquility, so you get that mental health benefit, physically, you know that if you're going skiing, you need to start training before you go. So a lot of people carve out time months before they go to get active and to get outside and be outdoors in the UK, and we know the benefits of that. In terms of being a parent, I mean, it's an amazing sport for young children to learn, because they build resilience learning to ski more than many things in life. Because when you learn, whether you're learning or whether you're a pro, you fall over and you have to learn to pick yourself up and go again. So you're teaching children that mistakes a part of that journey to improve. And that's something that, especially post-pandemic, loads of people are scared to be their best, to be 100% of themselves, and they're scared. They have a fear of failure, a fear of making mistakes. So actually using sport to show them that those mistakes are important to learn from and move forward and grow is really synonymous with learning through life.
And indeed, as we've often said, Shemi, failure is not falling down, failure is staying down. It's just a point which I always think is important, even though I'm a non-skier. I think it's important for a life lesson. And we can't all learn to ski, a bit ski like your good self, Shemi, or indeed our other sort of skiing souls. Where can people find out more information about the Austrian National Tourist Office and indeed choosing sustainable winter getaways?
So there's loads of great information. I was very lucky to be out there filming some of the incredible achievements and the projects that are doing it right. And you can see more at austria.info/sustainability. And I'm really excited to be part of this. It's something that we all need to talk about, because we want the future generations to be able to enjoy what we're enjoying now. But our decisions today do impact what will happen to our mountains tomorrow.
And following your good self on the social, Shemi, have you got the TikToks, the threads, the rest of the bits and pieces? It's a case of no, just belonging to the BBC and BBC Ski Sunday.
I'm on Shemi Ski. I haven't gone TikTok or threads yet. I'm a bit of a dinosaur, but I do put up some lovely videos of me ripping down the slope. So exactly. That can be your escapism.
Well, there you go. A former GB Olympic skier and, of course, BBC Ski Sunday presenter extraordinaire, Shemi Olcott. Huge thanks and happy skiing, Shemi.
Thank you. Happy winter to you too.